Have your seat. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you grant to us insight to your word as we study greater works that is in Christ. May every heart be established in this truth present in us as we behold Christ as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The previous verse says that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. So I say in Christ. That's a very vital truth. A vital pointer in the entire Bible is the term in Christ. Now I read this from someone and it blessed me. A quote that someone put up. He said the Bible, you can write it down if you want. He says the Bible is the only book that profoundly embodies God's mind. I'll say that again. The Bible is the only book that profoundly embodies God's mind. Its entirety, alright? Sorry, it's eminently the book of God's special revelation. That is, it is eminently the book of God's special revelation given to man to unveil God in and as Christ Jesus. I'll say it one more time. He says, the Bible is the only book that profoundly embodies God's mind. It is eminently the book of God's special revelation given to man to unveil God in and as Christ. Why? Because Christ is the centrality of the revelation of the scriptures. He's not one of the characters. I was saying this in the first service. I remember teaching in the Bible school years back in 96. And the assistant president of that school, like the deputy rector, he said, are you saying that Jesus Christ is the central character in the Bible? Are you saying the Bible speaks about him alone? So I turned at him and I said, are you sincerely asking that question? Because it looks very stupid. How can you ask me whether Jesus Christ, who is called the Word of God, is a central subject of the Bible? Who else should that be? He's a central theme of the Scriptures. John 5:39, he says, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. That they will testify of me. Look at the life of Abraham, for example. Look at Romans chapter 4. I found out that if you teach about Abraham from Genesis, you talk about Abraham. But if you teach about Abraham in the epistles, you talk about Christ. I'll take that one more time. If you want to talk about Abraham and you seek on the Old Testament, particularly in the book of Revelation, you talk about Abraham. Abraham did this. Abraham did that. Abraham did that. But if you come to the epistles, you talk about God. Or better still, you talk about Christ. Now look at Romans in chapter 4 and verse 1. Romans chapter 4 and verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh has found? That is what has he found? Notice what he found. In verse 22, he says, therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it is not written for his sake alone, it is also imputed to him, as it were to him, but also for us for whom it shall be imputed. For if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. In other words, the key thing about Abraham, the centrality of his faith, was about Christ. It was about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Go to Galatians in chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3 tells you in verse 16. In fact, verse 8 says that the scripture had foreseen that God would justify the eating through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. Now that's clarified much later in verse 16. Now I want you to pay very good attention to this because I'm going to bring out a vital detail for you now. In 16 it says, now to Abraham and his seed where the promise is made. He said, not as to seeds as of many, but as of one. So as of one. So not as many. He said, to thy seed, which is who? Christ. In other words, when God uttered his promise to Abraham, and he says, your seed, Paul is saying, that seed is a person. Just one person. He says that seed is who? Christ. Now, how do we come to this kind of conclusion? Quickly go to Genesis in chapter 12 and then verse 7. To thy seed. Genesis chapter 12 verse 7. When that utterance was made to Abraham, you see that word to your seed. I'll give you Genesis 12, 7. Genesis 13, 15. But Genesis 12, 7 first. Genesis 12, 7. The Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed will I give this land and thee, and build he an altar unto the Lord and appear unto him. Genesis 13, verse 16. I'll start from 15. And all the land which you have seen, I will give you unto thy seed forever. And I'll make thy seed as the dust of the earth, as if a man can number the dust of the earth, so shall thy seed be numbered. So, thy seed. Which seed? Now, that was seed, alright? Notice that when Paul was making the argument in Galatians 3, he said, not as to many, which is the word poloi in the Greek, that's more than one. He said, but to just one. Just one. So while the typical Jew was thinking about a nation, multiplicity of people, God was talking about just one person. That promise was just for one person. No, you notice that promise was not even for Abraham, but to his seed. Now when it says, and to his seed, that would be TSKS, right? And to his seed, that is to his seed. Right? Right? That is to his seed. TSKS means the Thai, the Chi, substantive Chi rule. When you have the word and, A-N-D, it doesn't necessarily mean conjunction. And could mean that is. So, when he's talking to Abraham, that he is his seed. Are you following? Are you following this? Okay, look at this. So, it says seed. That word seed in the Hebrew is the word anos. It means, zera, not anos. Z-E-R-A. Z-E-R-A, seed, is used for natural seed, for example. When you sow seed, natural seed, agriculture, so natural seed. It also is used for descendants. But we'll come to that soon. Now, Galatians 3, let me run through that. Paul says, as to one, not as to many. He makes two distinctions. That is a particular person. And that word one is enos. That's what I want to say. H-E-N-O-S. It means a primary number one. 345 times in Greek. Primary number one. And then Paul uses the word seed, sperma, S-P-E-R-M-A. That's in Galatians 3:16. And that's the word used for offspring. Whenever it's not used for natural seed, it's used for offspring. Like a child. Right? Like a descendant, offspring, sperma. That's Galatians 3. Now, get to Genesis now. Genesis, I said, he uses Genesis 12, 7, Genesis 13, 15. To thy seed. Now, in the book of Genesis chapter 1, you find the word seed used several in Genesis chapter 1. The seed is in itself. Seed, 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 seed. So that's definitely no natural seed. Then you have Genesis 3, 15. The seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. Is that plural or physical? I mean, plural or singular? Huh? Don't be too quick to think so, but then, let's assume it is singular. Alright, so it's singular for now. Genesis 4:25. The Lord had appointed seed for me. Genesis 4:25. Don't forget the word zera. Z-E-R-A. Genesis 4:25. The Lord had appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. Now, another seed there is just one person. Zerah. Genesis 4:25. Genesis 7:3. To keep seed alive upon the face of the earth when the animals were preserved in the days of Noah. Genesis 15:3. Now, this is important. Okay, before I go there. Genesis 8:22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Funny enough, people use this word for sowing offering. Seed time and harvest. the earth remains cold and heat. Where do you get that one from? Summer and winter. Here in Nigeria, we don't get that. It's always summer. Day and night shall not cease. Well, my kids, the first time they went to the United States, and they are coming back, and they started forming. And I was just laughing. They say, why is it so hot in Nigeria? Just after going for 2 weeks. So you're a comedian. Come on! Behave yourself. There's some guys who go to Dubai and start to have fun. Hello, how are you? Dubai. Where the visa is handed over free of charge. Yeah. It's good to be confirmed to this world, some things like that. Genesis 15. Somebody get me back in church. Genesis 15:3. Alright? Behold to me, thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. So that's just seed for one person. Are you following that? One. So you see, seed is used for one person. Okay? Are you following this? Good. Genesis 15 again, verse 5. Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them, he said, and so shall thy seed be. Now, don't make a mistake that he is referring, again, to the seed more than one. Because again, Paul says to us, that seed is one person. So shall the seed be. This person. Okay, Christ. So shall Christ be. Hallelujah. Come to that soon. So, in other words, when he said, when Paul was referring to, did you get this? When Paul was referring to Genesis, the Genesis account, he said that all those promises were just for one person. Are you there? Are you there? Though you will find the Israelites try to claim that, but hey guys, that's not you. An Israelite here? So there's Israelite, there's Jew, and there's Hebrew. So that in the first service. So they try to claim that, but it's for one person. And your seed, which is Christ. Okay? Now you see where it comes to us in the moment. So, it says, everything God said to Abraham. But did you notice that in the entire Genesis, Christ was not mentioned? Yet, that was the person he was talking about. You know, Abraham's blessing was on that seed. You get it? Come on. Do you know that Abraham in his lifetime never saw the fulfillment of that promise? Never did. Abraham had Isaac and had all the kids, but that wasn't what God was talking about. God was talking about a person. Christ Jesus. So, you will not find Christ Jesus in the Bible, like everybody, oh, this is about Christ. But you will find things that point to Him. Learning something? You learning something? So when Paul says to thy seed, which is Christ, Paul is speaking from Revelation. That the Bible is about Him. So, imagine if you take away the word, your seed. From everything God said to Abraham, there is no promise. Get that? You hear that? If you take away to your seed, away from everything God said to Abraham, everything He said about his seed, if you remove that from the Bible, Abraham had nothing to believe. You get that? So, Abraham was blessed because of Jesus. Does that make sense to you? Huh? Come on, are you there? Abraham was blessed because of who? So Abraham's blessings are in Christ, or are for Christ, or are through Christ. So he is the centrality of the Bible. The Bible is about Jesus. Amen. John 8:56. Quickly run there. John 8:56. Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Everyone's real. Is this guy nuts? Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and then he said, he saw it, and he was glad. And he said, before Abraham I am. And they are thinking, you must be crazy. Something has entered your brain that is stronger than your brain. But you see, they were men of the flesh. He's saying, the day that Abraham saw that ram on Mount Moriah, and what he was doing was to offer up the only begotten, even though the only begotten is Jesus. Alright, and Abraham is learning what God was going to do to Jesus on the cross. The minute he did that, and he saw that ram, he saw Jesus. He saw his day. Jesus will be the Lamb of God that will take away the sin of the whole world. But you see, those guys were so down spiritually that they took up stones. Abraham rejoiced to see my day. So there was the day of Christ spoken ahead of time. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, you could never see that ram was all about Jesus. The Isaac was standing there as a figure, all about Jesus. Bible is about him. Still out there? Still out there? Look at Galatians 3. So, all that God spoke to Abraham about his seed was about who? Some guys are still claiming Israel things today. And some preachers are so interesting. They collect money on TBN and Daystar for Israel. And I'm thinking, it takes the blind to lead the blind. But sometimes it's very terrible when the blind leads those who can see. I'm thinking, you take money to Israel. They were going to Israel. My dad went to Israel, Jerusalem. And, you know, he came back and he was really feeling spiritual. So how did he want to share his experience with me? Say, my dad, say Christianity is real. He said, tell me something. He said, I was there. So you have not been there. I was there. I was at Jordan. I saw the water. So when I got to Gethsemane, I prayed for you. Till I mentioned your name. I said, why Gethsemane? So he came back with so many things, like one staff. He brought the staff out, and the staff had some creature, right? You know, captured around him. So he brought the staff. Because he's a king, he was a king. You'll assume that the staff was something traditional. So he gave it to me. I still have the staff. Yeah, I do. So sometimes I bring it out, even for believers. I bring it out. Some brethren in this church. What's that, sir? What's that? I said, He was taken from Israel. It like the rod of Moses. You know, the rod of Moses also has serpents around it. There was crap. So you see this. This is how Moses' rod was. I said, I brought one special anointing oil. It's from Israel. I said, you'll have brought the one from heaven. Yeah. Folks think like that. So they take the money to say, the Jews, God has a covenant with the Jews. To Abraham and to his seed. You really need circumcision of the heart. His seed is Christ, sir. Hallelujah. Isn't that easy to see? Praise God. So if anybody's calling the money to take to Jerusalem, don't mind them. They're only feasting on your ignorance, on their ignorance. Nobody is ignorant. But they come and bring money. There's a lady that even went on air to preach, and she's collecting money for the Day of Atonement. I kind of found that interesting. Because in the Bible, even when the Day of Atonement was celebrated, they didn't collect money. But she said that rather than bring her animals, that you should bring the money for the animals. And I kind of felt that, it's not really funny. I felt, well, the amount she was charging was too much for the animals. That was the way I thought. I thought charging me $1,000 for an animal, I could get you a good one in Nigeria if it's a cow, 90K, right? And I'll send you, but she said $1,000 for atonement. Atonement means reconciliation with God, the sins are forgiven. That's the funny part. The only miracle I saw that there was that people actually gave. That was the only miracle I saw. Because I would have felt, who just laughed. But people were actually giving. In the last days. Alright, where were we? Galatians 3. Now watch this. Was to his seed, which is Christ. So Paul begins to build his argument scripturally. And he begins to speak. Then he spoke about the law. Then he, in verse 24, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, bringing us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Verse 25, let's take 25 and 26 together. But after that faith is come, let's go. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under schoolmasters. 26, everybody, come on. Now, I don't like you reading the Bible. Don't read the Bible like that. No revival like that. I cannot be many because you're talking to me. So please talk to yourself. Alright? So let's go. For we all are all the children of God by faith. So you are in Christ, the child of God. Now let's take 27. Come on, let's go. For as many of us as have been baptized in the Christ. Woo! What have we done? Hallelujah. The J.B. Phillips version puts it like this. It says, therefore, you have no other identity but that which is of Christ. That's sweet. Glory to God. So, that means your identity now is called what? Glory to God. Watch this. He says, there is therefore neither Jew. So, nobody should take money to Israel anymore. See that? 28. No. There's another what? Jew? No what? Greek? Now Greek means Gentile. If you're Yoruba, Hausa, Igbo, you are Greek here. Gentile. Go on. There's neither no bond nor free. What else? But you are all what? Woo! Glory to God! Hallelujah! One in Christ means we are the same as Christ. Now look at the next one. The next one is a shouting verse. Come on, it says a shouting verse. And if you be what? Glory to God. Then you are what? Woo! What else? Yes? So that promise was made to me. Glory to God. Can you see that now? That promise. So when he said, you cannot number the stars, you can number this sea. He's saying Christ Jesus will be multiplied in the earth. He's the firstborn. Hallelujah. And we're just like him. Glory to his name. Is that clear? Come on, is that clear? So, when you read the Bible, now two things we've seen now. You will see Christ, okay, in God's utterances, figuratively. So if I see Christ figuratively, then I see the believer in Christ. Because if you have faith in Christ, you put on Christ. So whatever God said to Abraham is yours. Not true. That is true. Praise God. Abraham on Mount Moriah. He's on Mount Moriah. And then he sees a ram and he says Jireh, which means God provides. And a stronger Hebrew will say, God is the provision. Jireh. So, Jesus Christ became the provision for sin. Jireh, that's what it means. He became the provision for sin. He is called El Shaddai. He's sufficient for sins. Praise God. Are you still out there? That's Jesus. He is the provision for sins. Quick look at Hebrews 11, Rush. Hebrews 11. Mount Moriah. Hebrews 11. There is Abraham, and then you have Isaac. And the Bible says about Abraham in verse 17, by faith, Hebrews 11, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, that he that had offered up, don't forget, he offered up Isaac by what? By what? Now what is faith? The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So he was demonstrating something that was yet to happen. Okay? So, whatever Abraham was doing was going to be what? A hope. That was in the faith. That was the faith in hope. Jesus is the perfecter of that faith. So, what he was doing with Isaac was exactly this. Read the next verse. The next verse says, he offered up the promises. He that offered up the promises, sorry, he that received the promises, pardon me, offered up his only begotten son. Let me ask you, was Isaac his only son? No. There was Ishmael, but Isaac was the child of faith, the child of the promise. Isaac was the one, okay, who stood in the place of Jesus. Not Ishmael, because Ishmael came from the born woman. Isaac came from faith. So he's saying to you that this is the only begotten son. So calling Isaac the only begotten son, again, is figurative of Jesus. Are you listening? Are you listening? Now look at the next thing. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. That means Isaac will be the figure of your seed. You get that now? Isaac will be what? The figure of your seed. The next one. Let's take 19 together. Accounting. Everybody, let's go. Accounting. Come on. That God was able to raise him up. Raise who up? Can't be Isaac. Raise who up? Raise Jesus. So what did he do? He received him in what? Who did he receive in a figure? Isaac or Jesus? Thank you very much. So on Mount Moriah, what was Isaac learning of? He was learning of Christ in a figure. See that there? Where is your Isaac? Have you sown your Isaac? Oh God. In Isaac shall thy seed be called. Jesus is the Isaac. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You get that? So, a figure. The word figure is the word parable. It's the word figure. Symbol. Hebrews 9:9 uses it. Hebrews 9:9. Hebrews 9:9 uses that word figure. Hebrews 9:9 says, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices that could not make him that did the service perfect as pertaining to the conscience. Hebrews 1:1, God who at sundry times in diverse manners spoke to our fathers through the prophets, as in this last day spoken in his Son. He spoke to all of them or through all of them in figures of speech, in partial revelation of the truth. It's only in Christ that you'll find the exact representation of God. Watch this. I write this down. All our answers are from the epistles. All our answers. All the things we know are from the epistles. The Gospels will help us historically, but the epistles explain things to us. Luke 24:25-27. O fools, Lord, to believe all the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And begin at Moses and all prophets, he expounded all the scriptures. Verse 27. The things concerning himself. So our mindset about the scriptures should be found in Christ. I thought we studied that before now. Did we? 1 Corinthians 2:9-11. 1 Corinthians 2:9-11. We're moving to conquer speed. But as is written, eye has not seen nor hear heard. This is not a prayer point. Neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. One more time, this is a prophecy in Isaiah 64:4. It's now fulfilled unto us. Praise God. God has revealed them unto us, verse 10, by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man? Except the Spirit of man which is in him. Even so the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Look at 16. Let's take 16 together. Everybody? For who has known the mind of the Lord that he might instruct him? What do we have? We have what? The mind of Christ. What does that mean? What does mind of Christ mean? Explanation. What else? Understanding. What else? Interpretation. Is that right? Okay, good. Now see this. You know, in the four Gospels, look at what Jesus said about the Old Testament. Matthew 13:17. Matthew 13:17. Glory to God. Matthew 13:17. It says, verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. Luke 10:23. Blessed are the eyes which see, and with the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and have not heard them. This is the four Gospels. So he is saying the occurrence of the promise of God in the four Gospels is stronger than the Old Testament. Or Genesis to Malachi. Look at Matthew 13. Never handle the Old Testament books without the epistles. You hear me? Never do it. Never. You understand it from the epistles. Never handle it. Is that clear? Is that very, very clear? Look at Matthew 13. Look at Jesus' teaching ministry for you. Matthew 13, 35. Let's start from 34 and 35 together. Let's read it together. Let's go. I'll wait for you. Let's go. All these things spoke Jesus unto the multitude in parables. Out of the parables speak ye not unto them. Spoken by the prophet, saying, I'll open my mouth in parables. I'll utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. That's Psalm 78, verse 1 and 2. What's he talking about? The parable means comparison. Parable means not direct speaking. So you will be in error if you take a parable without interpretation. For example, people thought that when Jesus was talking about the 10 virgins, he was talking about the rapture. That's one of the craziest interpretations I've ever heard in my life. I've done that before. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. So I called, was it, what's the oil? The oil is the Holy Spirit. How does it sound? So you go and buy the Holy Spirit. From where? I never explained. Just buy it. But when I wanted to make it deep, I said, for you to buy the anointing, it means there's a price. Many of us have the anointing for salvation, but not the anointing for the rapture. And I was preaching it good. And then you see, the one for the rapture, you have to pay a price. And I went to his first boss, says, we die daily. Do you die daily? When you are through, you'll be going like, what is left of me like? Jesus was talking to the Jews who rejected him. Not you. That parable has nothing to do with you. Whether your old man, or your former man, or your future man, or your present man, or all of them put together. He was talking about the Jews. You know what he said? Narrow is the way. Wide is the gate. People still use that today. To preach the gospel. Brethren, narrow is the way in a gospel. Did he ever send anyone to preach that? Narrow is the way. Why? Is he only touching the arm crowd? It's wide. You are only jealous. Wide is the way. Did you just listen well to what he was talking about? He was talking about false prophets who were many. And people didn't come to him. So he says narrow, single, wide, many prophets, false prophets. And there be few that find it, present tense, not future tense. When he sent them to preach, they go into all the world. Whosoever. Hallelujah. You know, you're not going to need to preach the gospel. You don't want to believe the gospel. So I promise you, wide is the way to. You've seen some cartoons. I call them cartoons. Very big road like that, leading to hell. We have air courts, jerry calls, nice clothes. Then they're going to the wide. There's a small place like that, just one door. And then you have to wear white. And the women are tying their hair. Narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. So interesting. Whereas Jesus said, I am the life. So was he talking about heaven? No. He was talking about persons. Alright, let's leave that. So, parables are very difficult. You cannot take parables and then go over them and say, Holy Ghost son is a Christian who blasphemed. And there was the other brother. The pastor. Then we, the father, the GO. Because the father said that the son, when the son came back, he said, I've sinned against you and heaven. You know, that can't be God. You can't take that literally. You get it? Come on! Many of you have been with pigs. Oh, what are the pigs? The pigs are pastors, the boyfriends and girlfriends. You're a joker. So you don't read them like that. You allow the epistles to translate those things. Exactly. Come on, guys, that clear? So you don't take parables, you know, like that. In the parables, he said he spoke them to those who did not believe. Now, quickly, in John, now, after saying all this, all right, in John 16, so wait, before I go further, parables are not directly spoken. Right? That means they're comparisons. So you must find out what is comparison. Now look at John 16, 12 to 13. Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you. Imagine, after telling them that their eyes were blessed to see. And they must be feeling themselves. Say, who will be, David? Say, we do. Say, and we know there's a way you walk when you hear things like that after church. Jesus told you that blessed are your eyes. He said, all the kings and prophets couldn't see them. You won't do anything immediately. You just be feeling inside of you. I knew this is the right church. I knew this is the right ministry. Then, everybody, as they're going out, somebody mentions Abraham, the spouse. Who are you talking about? Abraham. He's a good guy. Oh man, you have to be in our church. Blend our eyes. Then here's Jesus about to round up his ministry, and he says, there are yet many things I want to say to you. Huh? He said, okay, you want to say them? Go ahead. He says, no, you cannot bear them now. Can you imagine? He said, this is not where we're going. You mean this is not where we're going? You mean your best sermon is not on the mount? So that was the best sermon. Blessed are you, blessed are the meek, blessed are the gentle, blessed are the peacemaker, blessed are the blessed, blessed, blessed. If Paul were to read that today, he would say the Christian is the meek. The Christian inherits the earth because we're already blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Hallelujah. You will not find a verse of scripture that says you will be blessed in the epistles. If there's any word used for blessings, it's in our conduct, not in who we are. You can't be more blessed than you are. You can't be more human than you are. You can never change forever and ever. You can never change. You can't be more human than you are, can you? Your humanity is increasing just tonight. Your humanity began to increase. I just found out I had more human life after like 2 o'clock yesterday. Humanity just... You're born of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. So he says to them that there are many things to learn. You mean the parable of the sower is not it? Jesus <was like, laughs> I thought there was depth in that one. What about the parable of the rich young ruler? Rich fool. Yeah. Were you studying that one too? I was studying it, sir. I was going to do a series on it. So what about but Master, wait. Not those parables. What about the 10 virgins? That one is deep. So he said, no. He said, you can't bear revelation. Just wait. Tell us now. Tell us. I mean, what could he have told them? He only told them he was going to die. And everybody's arguing. No, you're joking. You know that's how he speaks. He's dead. He's talking about. He's talking about a confession. Something that is going to happen in the spirit realm. You get it. Number one, they didn't believe he was going to die. Two, worse, they didn't believe he was going to be raised from the dead. Can you imagine their case is so worse? They didn't believe he was going to die. He died. Did that not have inspired them to believe he was going to be raised? They said he had dreams from the dead. They were saying, arguing themselves. Who did this? It is women. You like to dream. Women and emotions. I know you just saw him in your mind. It's your emotions. What he rose from the dead. Hallelujah. What is now? So he said, there are many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them. So in John 14, after he had taught them and taught them and taught them, look at the kind of questions they were asking in John 14. He said, Lord, we don't know the way you are talking about. Which way? Last teaching. This is the last series. Which way? Then he says, you know what? Show us the Father. Be very plain. He said, if you have seen me, John 14, 9, you have seen the Father. You know, they were still looking. Jesus, they just couldn't bear what he was talking about. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. So he begins to speak. Now, you know the reason why they couldn't get it? Those truths were for the church age. You can't blame them. They were for the church age. John 14. So he says to them in verse 12, Verily I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater, so I say greater. So there are two things he said. The works, you will do them. Then greater. Greater than this shall you do. Do you notice he never mentioned works the second time? Just said greater. The works. He first said, the works I do. Then he said greater. Because if he had said greater works, then he will have meant more than one thing. Are you paying attention? Say, greater than this shall you do, because I go unto my Father. Hallelujah. Now, because I go to my Father, what does that mean? He's referring to his death, burial, and ascension to him. Look at John 20:17. Because I ascend to my Father. John 20:17. Are you following this? Come on, guys, are you following this? Are you following this? John 20:17. Now, he met Mary Magdalene, and then he said, touch me not, or touch me not further, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. Go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. In other words, he's reminding them what he told them earlier. That I told you because I go to my Father. Now I'm going. Now at this point, what's he talking about? His death? His burial? Huh? I think he raised from the dead here. So he's talking about what? His ascension to heaven. Praise God. Amen. That's what he's talking about. So, look at this. He's talking to his... So, wait one minute. Because I go to my Father will mean I go to the right hand of God. Is that what it means? Huh? Does that mean I will be glorified? Huh? Exalted? Right? Is that what it means? Come on, tell me. Is that what it means? Okay, now watch this. So, if it, the works I do, you will do. Now, let's back up a little bit and see something. The 12 apostles and then the 70, did they work miracles? Huh? Did they work miracles? Come on, in the four gospels, did they work miracles? Very fine. So note that. Now let me ask one more. Did they preach in the four gospels? Huh? They preached, including Judas Iscariot. I don't really like. I think that name means Judas is carrot. I don't know where I... Gives me a funny feeling about carrots. Did they preach in the four gospels? Okay. You know, Judas also worked miracles, right? But Jesus said, he that believes on me... Now, we've started that before. Believes on what now? Believes in what? His resurrection. Judas isn't one of such. Is he? Was Judas one of such? Huh? Did Judas ever see Jesus raised from the dead? Come on, guys, you can't answer that. That's a simple one. Why did he see him? Did Judas ever see Jesus raised from the dead? Did he? Was Judas born again? That's very, very, very strong. No! Somebody said, no! Oh, why? Let's see how it goes.
Acts 1. Acts 1. So Judas was one of them, okay? Who are these folks? Acts 1:21. Wherefore this man, which accompanied with us all the time, that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of what? Judas wasn't one of them. A witness of what? His resurrection. Judas did not witness his resurrection. Is that true? So, all of them preached. You know they all preached? Judas also preached. Look at Matthew 10. They preached. He sent them to preach. Matthew 10. Now, notice what Peter says. He says, of this one will be chosen to witness what? His what? His what? His what? Resurrection. Resurrection. So go to Matthew 10. He sent them to preach. You see this account. You see this account in Luke also. Mark 6. Luke 9 and 10. But let's read Matthew 10 example. Matthew 10, he says, go not in the way of the Gentiles, Matthew 10, 5, and unto the city of the Samaritans, enter ye not. Now before then in verse 1, he gave them power to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And then he mentioned all of them, 12. Then he says, preach, saying what? Let's say 7 together. Saying what? Huh? Is what? The kingdom of heaven is what? At hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received, freely you give. That's what he asked him to preach. Did you notice that there is no salvation in that message? There was nothing like, when they believe, they will be saved. You notice that? Nothing like that in that account. So, what were they saying to preach? I showed you last week. Our God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and fire. That was what they were preaching. Preaching about Jesus. Oh, Jesus is anointed of the Spirit. He is the fulfillment of Isaiah 61, 1 to 3. That was what they were preaching. They were not preaching about salvation. Are you listening? Now, contrast that with Matthew 28. Go to Matthew 28. Who's learning something here? Are you learning something here? Okay. So, if Jesus should say greater, we need to know what is greater. He cannot be, brother, he cannot be the fact that they will heal the sick, because they did that before he died. Who am I talking to the church here? Are you following what I'm saying? So, you need to contrast that, Matthew 10, with Matthew 28. Matthew 28 says, all authority, all power, Matthew 28, 18, is given me in heaven and on earth. Matthew 28. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, did he mention all nations in Matthew 10? Huh? Matthew 10 was just Israel. Come on. See that? What was he supposed to tell Israel? This is the person Isaiah prophesied about. But Matthew 28, he says, go ye into all the world and teach all nations. What else? He says they should make disciples. That what is material, I told you last week, to train people. He never told them that in the four Gospels. Are you there? Are you following this? Come on, guys, are you following this? So there's a distinction there. Look at Mark 16. Mark 16, 15. So, let me ask. What is the difference between Matthew 10 and Matthew 28? Huh? In Matthew 28, they were to make disciples. In Matthew 10, just announce that Jesus Christ, the anointed, is here. Two different things. Now, let's get closer now. Look at Mark 6. Mark 6. Mark 6, 7 and 8. He called them. Mark 6:8. He called them. 12 of them began to send them 2 by 2 and give them power of unclean spirits, commanding them they should take nothing of their journey. Verse 8. Save a staff only. No crepe, no bread, no money in their purse. Be short with 10 sandals, not put 2 coats. In whatever house you enter, abide still. That's the same thing in Matthew 10. Now we've got Mark 16. Mark 16:15. Let's read that together. Mark 16:15. Let's go. Mark 16:15. Go where? Hold on. In Mark 6 and Matthew 10, did he ask them to go into all the world? No. The cities and villages of Israel. Here he says, go into where? And preach what? To where? Every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be what? Saved. He that believes not shall be what? So, something has been added. Disciples, then believers. That was not in Matthew 10 or Mark 6. Is that getting clear? Look at Luke. Look. Luke 9. Verse 2. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God. That's the word authority of God. Kingdom of God is not about a place. It's the word basileia, authority, which is the anointing on Jesus. And to heal, and they went around preaching the gospel, verse 6, and healing everywhere. But look at Luke 24. Luke 24:47. Let's take Luke 24:47 together. Let's go, everybody, come on. Luke 24:47. Let's go. Let's start from 46. Thus it is written, everybody let's go. Thus it is written, and thus it is behold Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. 47. And remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, tarry in the city of Jerusalem to be endued power from on high. What is the difference here? What's the difference? Forgiveness of sins. Which wasn't in what he told them earlier. He just said, go cleanse the lepers, heal the sick, tell them the kingdom of God is at hand. Difference. So, he never sent them to preach the gospel of salvation in the four gospels. And no one could ever have gotten saved. Judas obviously did not preach the gospel of salvation, because there couldn't be a gospel of salvation without resurrection. But they could preach the gospel of the kingdom because Jesus had been anointed. So their message was how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. But by the time he rose from the dead, the message was not that Jesus was anointed, it's that he was raised from the dead. Hallelujah. For our sins. Is that very clear? If Jesus says, the works I do, you will do. Then he says, greater. Hallelujah. Don't say greater. You're getting clear to you. You're getting clear to you? So we must investigate what happened when he rose from the dead to know the greater he referred to. What's the greater? So, let's look at them before he gave them this commandment. Be very patient. I'm not in a hurry. Matthew 28. See, Bible truths are not to be rushed. They are not to be rushed. Someone told me, he said, your posts are too long. Can't you make them short enough for some of us to read it as we are running? I said, it's not possible. And people who think sermons are long are those who don't read their Bible. Have you observed that? People who think sermons are long don't read their Bible. How in the world would you study the Bible for a few minutes? It's not possible. Impossible. You study the Bible hours. Hours. Praise God. I mean hours. Which of your school books when you were in school was it like headlines? In fact, it is discovered that the schools are not serious, are the ones that give handouts. You know what I'm talking about. See, just sir, can you brief this? Key points. Just for this calculus, just say one word. Rema, give us a rema of all these things and let us go and fail. If Bible teaching is long for you, it's either you are not born again or you are an irresponsible Christian. Some people are not born again, though. They are not born again. They don't know. Because today, cars have stickers. My case is different because I'm born again. So you may not know. The car doesn't know.
below the belt, I think.
Yeah, so you say, well, someone is long. Can't it just be very brief? Very short and sharp. And he will sit down there and watch season 1, season 2, season 3 of a movie. Isn't that true? Some people will go and watch a football game. And they will sit down in the viewing stand, and they will stand. Yes! Yeah! Oh! Pass to the right now! Oh! Square play. See, square play now. You should have laid the ball and he will be standing there 1 hour, 30 minutes! Ladies in church. I'm not here to make you pleasant. I'm not out here. I don't care. You like it? Go. You'll come back someday. Because this is the truth. Amen. Say, let's do it in a way that some people think our services are long and teaching is long. How can we do it? Make it longer. Men don't choose pastors. God does. Do you get that? So a pastor does not listen to his congregation to know what he preaches. That's an hireling. Are you here? Paul says, if I be a servant of men, I'm not a servant of God. Is that very clear? Aha. Uh-huh. So I told the fellow, I said, you know what? I'm not so smart to put Bible truth in small, small words. And you call it rhema. I'm not so intelligent. I have the mind of Christ. And I don't think he's that intelligent too. Because he preached from morning till evening. And people were still, the Bible says they were still dull. You get it? Alright, I thought you got that. Let's see their state before he gave them this message. Do you know that when Jesus rose from the dead, all of the disciples had to be convinced? They had to be. Because the Bible says when he called them, in verse 17, when they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. Matthew 28, verse 17. Now, if you read Mark's account puts it differently. Mark's account 16. Mark says in verse 14, afterward, look at it, Mark 16, 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, they were eating. Imagine, mourning about Jesus and eating. Very convenient. And upbraided them for what? Their unbelief and hardness of their heart, because they believed not them that had seen him after he was risen. Can you get this? Do you understand this? Look at Luke's gospel. He had to convince them again. Luke's gospel, verse 24. Verse 38. Why are you so troubled? And why do you have thoughts arise in your heart? They thought it was his spirit that he's not raised from the dead. Said, behold my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Hand on me and see. For a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see me. They touched him and they were still looking. He said, okay, you know what? Bring food. Something good about this one. Say, while they believe yet not for joy and wonder, that is, they were still not excited. Can you imagine? They saw him. Is very possible somebody is dead and you are seeing like this? Yeah, which means, okay, you know what? Give me food. Do you have any meat? Of course they do. They were always eating. They give him a piece of boiled fish. A friend of mine preached this one time. He's a crazy guy. He said, if there's anything that feeds the glorified body, he says fish and bread. Very crazy fellow, you know. I told him, you're not born again. He said, boiled fish. I don't like fish, really. Or the kind of fish. And honeycomb. And he took it and ate it before them. And they say, they're alive. That was their state. So they couldn't have been preaching the gospel of salvation until now. Is somebody following this? In John 20, same thing. John 20. We always upbraid Thomas. The issue with Thomas was that he was late for service. He wasn't different. They were all touching him to know. But Thomas did not come the first touching. So when they told him, he said, no, until I touch my own. That was the point. So stop calling him doubting Thomas. All the 11 were doubters. Thomas did not just come for first service. He came for second service. That's what happened. So when he came to service, he said, this happened for first service. Jesus was going to be dead. We saw him with us. He said, Babu. So you guys are walking by faith. He said, no. So as he was still arguing with them, I know what I'm saying. You, Peter. He said, you told somebody I have belief. And they were talking. He just appeared. Thomas was saying, and then Jesus said, Thomas! Touch me. He said, and do not doubt. Touch my side. Touch my hand. You know, you should have stopped there and said, Lord, no. I was joking. I am a believer. He actually touched. He went, my Lord, my God. You know, he said, don't doubt. All of them did that. It was after that scene, alright, that he gave them the commission to preach. To preach the gospel of salvation. That's why in Luke 24, so it was within that period that they got saved, that they got born again. All their apostles. And Judas wasn't there. Are you there? Luke 24. Luke 24 now says, in verse 52, and when they worshipped him, they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. The difference there. They are now saved. With great joy. He had opened their understanding in verse 45. So he sent them out. Jesus didn't send them until he ascended to the Father. When it is he that believes on me, the works I do, he will do, and greater. What's he talking about? He's talking about preaching the gospel. Getting men born. Let me see if you're following this. You following this? Look at this picture. Acts 2. What was the first thing they did? Acts 2. Mark 16:20 already tells us. And they went forth everywhere and preached the word. And the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following. Mark 16:20. In Acts 2, what was the first walk when Jesus rose from the dead? Peter standing up with the 11. Hallelujah. He began to speak. Peter is not speaking about the anointing of Jesus. He's speaking about his resurrection. How he died for our sins. How he was buried. How he was in hell. How he rose from the dead. That was the message. Because people knew about Jesus the healer and they never got saved. But they got healed. Before God. So, here is he. Peter, Acts 2. You learning something? Come on, guys, you learning something? Acts 2. Peter gets up. And then he caps up his message in verse 36. All glory. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God had made the same Jesus whom you have crucified. What has he made him? Both Lord and Christ. Hallelujah. Both Lord and what? Look at 21 before you get there. 21. Let's take 21 together. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be what? They never preached this in the four gospels. Shall be saved. Now, look at what happened. Verse 37. And they asked Peter and the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So he told them, repent. Be baptized every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Did anybody ever preach this in the four gospels? No. And shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall. First walk. Salvation. To preach the gospel of Christ. Hallelujah. What did Paul say? Paul says, how shall they call on whom they have not believed? Romans 10:14. How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without what? A preacher. A preacher. Romans 10:14. They have to hear with a preacher. So today, we have been sent. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when he said, he that believes on me, the works I do, he will do. And greater works. What's he talking about? Preaching. You'll get men saved. Now we are co-laborers together with God. Hallelujah. Say, we are co-laborers together with God. Are you doing this greater work? Are you? Do you know that nobody will have been saved in Acts 2 without Peter preaching? Nobody gets saved because Jesus died. Nobody gets saved because Jesus rose from the dead. People only get saved because people preach it. Nobody gets saved because God loves them. People get saved because there's a preacher who tells them. In other words, people get saved because of us. People getting born again, and this will blow some religious minds, and I don't care. Salvation of souls in this world is our work. It's not Jesus' work. It's our work. Hallelujah. Do you hear that? It's our work. I close here. We are co-laborers with Him. Say, I'm a co-laborer. I'm a co-laborer. Hallelujah. A man was explaining the word joint heir. Because he was preaching in Spanish language, he got the translation wrong. So he now said there was a church he was pastoring with someone. So he said, me and so-and-so person, we are co-pastors in that language. But what it meant, that language, was they were going to share the flock. And that's how the church got split into two. Because of wrong translation. That's by the way. So when we're, Bible says we're co-laborers together with God. That's what we are. Glory to God. Co-laborers means is when we walk that He walks. Is when we save that He saves. Is when we tell them that they hear it. Are you following what I'm saying? Any believer in this house? Any believer in this house? He said, the works I do, you do, and greater. So I say, greater. Say, greater. So what I was telling him is, I do greater works this year. I own businesses. So you need prayers. Greater prayers. That's not what he's talking about. How shall they hear without a preacher? Christ has died already. He's at the right hand of the Father. And he said, he that believes the works that I do. Summarize that in Mark 16. These signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. Glory to his name. We look at that much later. We're co-laborers today. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, he has committed that message to you. Let me ask you. When did he commit the message to the apostles? When he rose from the dead and when they saw it and believed it. So when did he commit the gospel to you? When you became a believer. As you believe the gospel, that same message was not committed to you. You are now an eyewitness. A faith eyewitness. To speak the things that you have believed. To share it with the unbelieving world. Hallelujah. Are you still there? I said, are you still out there? 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'll put the 2 Timothy. Glory to God. Let's take verse 11 together. When I read this verse. Remember, I had this verse in a conference. Organized by a man named Ross Tatro. Never forget the man in my life. 1994, I was at Lateran Assembly. There was a conference going on there. Association of Independent Ministers. And he began to talk about the missionary Christian. I will never forget. Then he said, as he went to this verse, I burst into tears. He said, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which is committed to my trust. Man, God trusts you
to tell the world what they don't know. Do you know what it means to commit someone's trust? How many of you work in organizations when they put you in charge of something? Then you are in charge. Let me hear your hand. And you say, you are in charge of, for example, if you're a doctor, then they say, you know what, they have a patient. So this patient belongs to so-and-so person. You're in charge. That means they have put the person's life in your hands, as it were. Are you following what I'm saying? God has given this gospel to you in your trust, in your care. And you know, the gospel is not a book. The gospel is not a gist. The gospel is not a picture. The gospel is not a property. The gospel is a message. It is not gospel, it is not told. I like what someone said there back then. He said it's the gospel because it has to be told. I like that. It has to be told. Have you told it? Hallelujah. But this glorious gospel has been committed to your trust. I don't believe Jesus rose from the dead here. Raise your hand. So God has committed what you know to your hands. Others must hear it. Praise God. Hallelujah. I do this greater work. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So he that believes in me, he will walk miracles, signs and wonders. We're going to get there. But greater. Hey. Hallelujah. What could be greater than blind eyes open, deaf ears unstopped? There's something greater. Why he went to the right hand of the Father. That's why it is greater. Man born again and full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. That is greater. Thanks be unto God. Thanks be unto God. He has committed this to your trust. To your trust. You are in charge. So people go to hell because we don't tell them. That's what happens. They go to hell because we don't tell them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I remember back then, I was a younger preacher. I said to folks who were together, I said, we are set on this one. We are not looking back. We are taking the world. It matters not who is preaching and who is not preaching. We don't care who is on the field. We preach like we are the only ones there. Because he committed this message to our trust. And I said, we fear no man. We fear nothing. We fear no circumstances or situations. This message is committed to us. And we're taken into the world. Hallelujah. Are you in Christ? Are you a believer? Are you a believer? Are you doing this greater work? In your school, in your area, in your state, in your country, in your community. Hallelujah. Peter lifted up his hands, his voice, and 3,000. Philip was an usher. You know, Philip wasn't one of the 12. Philip went to Samaria. Maybe he went there for master's course. Maybe he went there to visit someone. Maybe he just went there on a field trip. But he didn't come back with pictures or Facebook tags. He didn't come back buying gifts for his friends. Philip went to Samaria and he preached Christ. He didn't come back with a PhD or RIP. He came back with souls. A whole city. He was doing the greater work. Hallelujah. Are you out there? Have you believed the gospel? Have you seen Jesus raised from the dead? You are now a witness. Hallelujah. And you are now a preacher of the gospel of Christ. Lift your hands toward heaven. Worship him. Give him praise. What are you doing with the message of Christ? What are you doing with it? Glorious church. Glorious church.